Today's podcast is sponsored and brought to you by Spades Sunshades, a poker lifestyle brand that sells quality and affordable sunglasses. Jeff Weber and his team make an amazing product and they want you to get in on the game. Glasses start at only $15 and $25 for polarized. These amazing Spades Sunshades are made by and for poker players. There is nothing else like this on the market. Use promo code BrettsOpenMic to get some free shipping on me. Head over to SpadesSunshades.com and get your pair today.
It's time for the Open Mic Podcast with your host, Brett Allen. Broadcasting live from the Bay Area studios, here at the Open Mic, no topic is off limits. And of course, you never know who may stop by. So sit back, relax, and enjoy today's show.
Well, thank you very much, and it's good to be here with you on another episode of the Open Mic Podcast, episode number 68. Whoa, unbelievable. I can't believe we've made it this far, but we are just moving right along, as the Muppets say. Some of you will probably not get that reference, and that's perfectly fine, because I'm old, because I just turned 44, so that's what's up with that. Anywho, we have a really great show today. I am super excited about this. This one has been in the works for quite some time, and I haven't been able to talk about it. I haven't been able to do anything about it. I can't say anything. I was going nuts. Honestly, when I started talking to today's guest, I was just a little bit giddy because I had been wanting to speak with her for a long time. We'll get to that in just a minute. But first, I want to say thank you to everybody who listens and subscribes to the podcast. You know, that word subscribe kind of gives a connotation that you have to pay something. For those who follow us, who download and listen every day, I appreciate it. And it just means the absolute world that you want to be a part of what we're doing over here. It's just, it's humbling, honestly. And I'm thankful for it. So, yeah. Also, if you want to give us a follow on social media, over on Instagram, it's at The Open Mic Podcast, and Twitter, Brett's Open Mic, Facebook, The Open Mic Podcast, Brett Allen. It really does help. Also, and if you want to give us a kind rating and a review as well, that means a lot. But just the fact that you listen and want to be a part is huge too. So today I have a very special guest. If you have watched anything on Netflix, you most certainly have come across Last Chance U. It is a phenomenal program that follows around D1 college students who essentially go to junior college. It's like the minor leagues almost, where they work on their grades and they work on their craft of football and all kinds of things. And if you have watched season 3, then you know who my next guest is. Latonya Pinkard, or Miss Pinkard, as she is so fondly referred to. I couldn't even say that word. She is on today's show, and I can't even tell you how hyped I am for you to listen to this interview. When I spoke to her, I could see why students just absolutely connect with her. She is the sweetest person in the entire world. She is so fantastic, and I just want to say thanks to Netflix Publicity as well for making this interview possible and for just facilitating it, all the in-betweens. You know, when you're doing a podcast and you're trying to book a guest, there's just a lot of steps that are involved. And sometimes it can take a while before you hear anything or you have an answer. And good things come to those who wait. I am here to assure you of that. This is an awesome interview. And we're going to do a quick spot here and talk about audible.com, let you know how you can help support the podcast and get a free audiobook as well. And then we will play that interview with Miss Pinkard in just a quick minute. Today's show is brought to you by Audible. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/theopenmicpodcast and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. Download a title free and start listening today. It's that easy. Go to audibletrial.com/theopenmicpodcast. Well, I am very excited about our guest today on the podcast. We have been working on this for quite some time. She is an educator, she's an English teacher, and can currently be seen on Netflix's hit show Last Chance U. I am very honored to have her. Please welcome to the program, Miss Pinkard.
Hello, hello. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much. So you are in Independence, Kansas right now, I assume. So I'm in California, so you're about 2 hours ahead. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you and I sort of have something in common. I am originally from Wichita, Kansas. I was born and raised there. So I'm very familiar with Independence, and when I watch the show, all the places that your teams go and all of that, I recognize all of that. So this season is very exciting for me because I actually know a lot of the places that you guys are at, and I've actually been to Independence before as well. So it's very cool to see Kansas featured on Netflix.
Exactly.
And I'm sure it's probably done a lot for the town, too. People are probably pretty excited. Do you kind of have a sense overall of what people feel like or think about since Netflix has essentially invaded a small town like that and sort of taken over in a lot of ways?
Well, you know, I will say the town, as well as the college, we're excited for them to be here because they're shining a light not only on Independence, Kansas, but on Independence Community College. In a good way, sharing the stories of just regular common folks, not scripted whatsoever at all. And so the community is really excited for them to be here. Open arms. Open arms.
That's fantastic. So now, where are you originally from, Ms. Pinkard, before you moved there? Where have you come from and what brought you there?
Okay, well, I'm born and raised Chattanooga, Tennessee, but I'm coming here from Atlanta, Georgia. So I lived in Atlanta probably about 13, 14 years.
Okay.
So I tell anybody I'm a true Southern girl.
Yes, yes. I think you talk about that on the show a lot, too. So how long have you been teaching? How long have you been in education?
I have been in education about 9 years.
Okay.
9 years. I have taught seventh grade for 3 years, and I thought, whew, the puberty level of a seventh grader is special.
That's
but
funny.
It was fun. Okay. Right. It's fun. But I found my niche in community college. That's where I really wanted to be.
Okay. So did you start out at Independence or did you come from somewhere else and then decided that you wanted to make the move there to Independence, Kansas? What was sort of the driving force for you to wind up where you're at now?
Well, I taught at a couple of schools in Atlanta, Georgia. And, you know, one day I was sitting at home and I can't remember what exactly prompted me to just start praying. And I tell anybody this, you know, because I get asked a lot. So how did you end up in Kansas? I wanted a change of atmosphere. And so I prayed and I asked God to place me somewhere where I can be a benefit both personally and professionally. And here I am. It was a seamless move.
Wow. That's a great story because I'm sure you probably do get asked that a lot. You know, what made you want to come there of all places? You probably could have gone anywhere. But you chose that school, and it's very apparent now, I would say, why you're there. Because when you watch the show and you see your interaction with a lot of those students, it's just very heartwarming and very sincere. And I don't feel like when I watch it that it's scripted, because there's no way that you could write something like that. Would you agree?
Definitely. Nothing is scripted whatsoever at all. If they gave me a script for 15 weeks, I'm like, I'm out. Bye. Gone. There is no way. So what you see is earnest. Nothing is scripted. Netflix did a really good job at catching the essence of everyone.
That's good. So pretty much what you see is what you get. What made you want to become a teacher? Like if there was something else that you wanted to do, what was it that the light bulb came on and said, I want to be an educator. I want to be a teacher.
Well, it was a while ago. I knew I wanted to be in a position to serve others. So serving others has always just been a part of me. And it started off, you know, just kind of thumbing through being young. I wanted to be a doctor at first. And I thought, I get the heebie-jeebies too much, so they may not work. And then I start thinking about my history. And like I said on the show, you know, through my ancestors, I don't want anything to be in vain. And however I can help educate someone else or prove to someone that we're just as intelligent, I'm just as great as anyone else, let me do that. Let me help you.
Wow. I love that. That's fantastic. So you've been at the school now for how long?
Going on my fourth year.
Okay. And
my fourth year.
So you've been there, you were teaching. What was your first reaction when they came to you and said, hey, Netflix has picked our school, they want to feature it on this program? What were your initial thoughts when you were given that information?
Because I wasn't familiar with the show, I thought, oh, okay, you know, it's a Netflix docuseries. This would be great. And so I really didn't have much emotion about it.
Okay.
I just thought this would be really good. And I didn't try to run up to the cameras or anything like that. I was found. And when they asked me to be part of it, I thought, sure. Because I want stories to be told from a classroom perspective, because students go through struggles. Student athletes go through so much. And we forget that they're human because we only see an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to portray that these are human beings and they deserve respect like everyone else.
When you started, then you really didn't have any intention to be featured or anything like that. They just came to you and there you go. Now you're a very large part of the show.
Correct.
So when they showed up the first day, what was that like? Was it difficult to teach? Was it hard to do your thing with camera crews everywhere, or were you able to just drown them out and go on and do your thing teaching and inspiring these young men?
You know, day one was interesting because they will mic you up, which was different. And, you know, you have the crew in the classroom with you, but they're so professional. They were like mice. You would forget, or I forgot that they were in the classroom. They were so professional. So out of the way.
Okay.
They didn't want to intrude on anyone's space at all. And so it was very welcoming for them to be in there. So I would say it was extremely different to be mic'd up. Day one, I've never been mic'd up before. And of course, it's day one of class. And you know, you're a little bit nervous anyway.
Sure.
So I walk into the classroom, they mic me up. And then I started sweating bullets. And I'm like, oh my God, I have this mic pack on my back. I'm sweating. Something's going to catch on fire in a minute. And I hope that the cameras are not rolling when it does. But outside of that, it was great.
Other than that, it's just normal.
It was normal.
So at this point, when they start filming again for you and the classroom experiences, it's probably going to be nothing for you at this point because you're so used to it.
Now, I may not be featured as much in the classroom, but I believe I'll be featured more so with the book club because a lot of people have really taken to the book club.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, now that you mentioned that, let's talk a little bit about that. How has that taken off since you started that? Because I thought that was so great that you started that and you have your phrase, reading is sexy, which I love. And
amen.
Nothing like a book. So what was your thought process behind starting that and what has it turned into now?
You know, my thought process was, I got so tired of young men when I asked them, what was the last book you read? And then there was a long pause. I hadn't read since the sixth grade. And I'm like, what? I haven't read since the seventh grade. Again, huh? So I thought, okay, we have to change this. That was my thought process. You haven't read a book in so long, and you've gone through an educational system. Reading is part of that. And so I wanted them to know that reading is important, be it a comic book, a magazine, a newspaper. It's okay. Pick up something and read. It's okay. And so that was my thought process behind it. I got tired of hearing I hadn't read since I was a child.
Wow.
And you're young adults now. Mm-hmm. And so to start the book club, I found Emmett Gooden was part of the process. I said, Emmett, I want to start a book club. I need your help. And I said, you recruit some people, I'll recruit some people, and we'll go from there. And so that's what happened. So it took about 2 to 3 weeks before it really started, because trying to find the right group of people who want to be involved, order the books to come in and, you know, and start the process. And it was such a beautiful experience. You all did not enjoy nearly, I can't even find the right word. You all saw beautiful snippets, but we had so many beautiful conversations in the book club.
I can imagine. And that's the interesting thing about reality television is that you just get certain pieces of the puzzle, but I feel like they did a great job representing it well. So what would be one story that you could share or that you would want to share about one of those experiences from the book club that maybe we as viewers at home didn't get to necessarily be a part of?
Oh, wow. Let me think back. we had so many, well, I would say two parts. One is, I can't remember, I think the name of the chapter is called Train. And so I read the chapter, when I first saw the title, I'm like, okay, Train, that shouldn't be too bad. We're just, you know, train tracks, okay, not a problem. As I read the story, it was about, I'll say sexual immorality, for lack of a better word.
Okay.
And how people could put themselves in situations they may not want to be. And because I'm the only female in the book club with these young men, I had to think real quick, how do I address this subject about sex or rape to these young men and they receive it and be able to discuss it?
Hmm.
That was a beautiful moment because they shared me. I shared with them. It was a very beautiful moment.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. That's mm-hmm. really cool. Thank you so much for sharing that, Ms. Pinkard.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, absolutely. I can imagine the relationships that you have built with these students. And I don't know how many are coming back. And if you can't say, that's totally fine. But I find it so interesting. And that was part of the appeal to me when the first and the second season came out, was just the relationships that are built between the teachers and the students and even the coaches, you know, and just seeing all of that, you know, it's just, it's great because I feel like there's so much on television that is so negative and just not great to watch. But I feel like this season is a lot different and it's more attractive in that way. And I wish I could be a fly on the wall sometimes because just the way that you care about your students, you love them, and you really are a servant because you're not just their English teacher. You go above and beyond, you know, to help them out, whether it's mm-hmm. buying them clothes or whatever they need, you're just there. And so mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, you are definitely an example of, and you've been doing this for a long time. So, you know, an example to teachers that this is what it looks like. And so that's fantastic.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So as an educator, what are some of the biggest challenges that you feel these young men face when they come from such big schools, D1 schools, down to the junior college level education-wise?
I would say, again, disappointment.
Okay.
When they're coming from a D1 school, they have so many opportunities, so many people are rooting for them. And so they're on another level. And so when many have come to a JUCO experience to play football, I feel most of them humbled because it is truly a different level of everything. And many are not used to that. Many are not used to being among, I would say, a sardine in a can.
Okay.
Many are not used to that. And so how much that disappointment when many arrive, it's a little bit trying, but to see the growth from day one to the end, it's beautiful because they get it. They finally get it. Whereas going straight to a D1, they may not understand everything that's on their plate.
Interesting.
And so when they get to a JUCO level, they get it. And then they're hungry for it. They're hungry to get back to where they were. And they work harder. They give 110% more.
So they're definitely more appreciative of what they have mm-hmm. versus what they did have, and now they don't have it anymore. So
exactly.
Okay.
And they can't take it for granted.
Sure.
A lot of people will take that for granted, and you can't.
Yeah. I mean, some of these students come from huge, massive programs with unlimited funds, and mm-hmm. then they don't have it anymore. And it's like, oh boy, you know, what are we going to do? And so I think mm-hmm. that's another thing that you do well at is you sort of help them understand, you know, this is not what you're used to. And so the humility, though, I think helps them in the long run, would you say?
It does. It definitely.
As a teacher, not just on the show, what is, but just in life, what is one message that you clearly are passionate about that you feel that you're constantly delivering and trying to communicate to students and people that are a part of your life?
I would say for my students, use all of your resources. There are people in place to help you. Take advantage of it. That's what you're paying for. That's why you are in school. Use all of your resources. If you don't understand, stay in your teacher's face. That's their job, to help you. And you stand there until they help you. If you still don't understand, the tutoring center, because the teacher can go home. The tutoring center. Go to the tutoring center. Get some help. I've often heard, I had one student before tell me, I feel dumb going to the tutoring center. And I told him, you're dumb for not going to the tutoring center. Hmm. Sit down.
I love it. Mm-hmm. He was probably like, okay. So I imagine part of what you're trying to do is to also just to teach them to think for themselves, because they're not always going to have you. They're not always going to have parents there to prod them along. And I like the message of, you know, you're paying for this, so you may as well take advantage of it now, mm-hmm. because eventually it's not going to be available. Because if you do go back to the D1 level, you're not going to have somebody necessarily in your corner to help you be successful. Then you could wind up losing it all over again. Reading is sexy. I want to talk about that. Where did you come up with that? That was huge. That was trending for motivation when you're communicating that to these people, because it's to have. I love it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's I know Netflix asked me a question, you know, as an educator, because it's hard sometimes. But I explained the burden is mine. I did not get into this field for the fun of it, for the check of it, because I'm a teacher and I understand that. But if you cross my path and you allow me to help you, I'm going to help you, period.
Love it. Absolutely love it. So if there was one final message that you could deliver to people who are listening today, if you had one opportunity, what would you want to say to them for those who would be listening?
Oh, wow. I would say, like I explained to my students, don't take anything for granted, because you never know how life is going to spin you. You never know. And always be prepared for it.
Well, I love it. And I just want to say thank you for being a part of the podcast and sharing your story and your heart. And definitely excited to see what comes out of this for next season and how these students come along. And again, I just thank you for being a part of the show, Ms. Pinkert. It absolutely means a lot.
I appreciate it. And again, thank you for having me. I have enjoyed this.
Thank you. It's been a lot of fun. Well, we have been chatting with Ms. Pinkert from Netflix's Last Chance U. If you haven't had a chance to watch it, I definitely recommend it. It's a great show. One of the best shows on television, in my opinion. And we're going to take just a quick pause and let you know how you can find the podcast and how you can support us and give us a listen. We'll be right back after this quick spot. Thank you so much for listening and being a part of today's podcast. Be sure to follow us over on social media, Instagram at Open Mic Podcast, Twitter at Brett's Open Mic, and of course, Facebook, Brett Allen. Until next time, cheers and be well. Thank you so much once again to Miss Latonya Pinkert for being a part of the Open Mic Podcast, coming on and talking about your story, and what an amazing one that it is. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. We're going to sign off for today. Let somebody know that you love them and let them know that you care. Until next time, we'll talk to you soon.
That brings today's episode to a close. Thanks for listening in. If you enjoyed today's episode, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a kind rating and review. It really does help. Until next time, cheers and be well.
What's up, everybody? It's Brett Allen from the Open Mic Podcast. And first of all, I want to say thank you so much for listening and being a part of the show. The fact that you listen, that you download, and that you subscribe every single day blows my mind. And from the very bottom of my heart, I want to extend a thank you. Now, Anchor.fm, the company that supports the podcast and that hosts it, has offered a brand new way for you to support my show, the Open Mic Podcast. You can now sponsor the program monthly. There are are three ways that you can do this. There are three levels: 99 cents per month, $4.99 per month, and $9.99 per month. And the cool thing is you don't even have to have the Anchor app to do it. Wherever you listen to this show, there is a link that you can go to, and it will take you to the anchor.fm/theopenmicpodcast homepage. From there, you can pick whatever level you want to support the show. It's that simple. And the cool thing is you can either do it once or you can do it reoccurring. It's totally up to you. The other thing about this that is super cool is that it's tax deductible as well. Doing a podcast can be expensive, and there are things that come up, like new equipment, new studio upgrades, new microphones, new music. All of that cost money. And I would absolutely love to partner with you on the podcast. Just head over to www.anchor.fm/theopenmicpodcast. Click the link. It's that simple. Thank you so much for listening and for your support. Cheers and be well.